So the so where are we getting it? Seven Reichman base systolic in the Toro. It's really the base Yosef Sugi here, but we take a look at the Torah just quickly, just to spell it out. But us lola of the Lahoros, the person is not permitted to paskin if they rabo. So we turn the page or in the middle of the next page, if they rabo, if one of one's Rebbe. Liolam, ever. Now what is in front of me? V'chol hamora b'fanav chayiv misa. Anybody who does pask in front of their Rebbe is actually liable to death. So that sounds pretty harsh. So v'chasav Rambam. So the Rambam says, im hu rachok mirabu shneimasar mil. That if he's 12 mil away from the Rebbe, v'shal lo adam davar halach b'derech mikra, and somebody just happened to ask him something, he's not an official posek, but just happened to ask him, yachol hashiv, he's allowed to answer, aval likavoa atzmo lahoros leishev ulahoros afilu hu b'sof ha'olam asu lahoros ad sheyemos rabo o ad sheyitin l'rishos. But to set up shop and actually to become posek someplace far away from your Rebbe, anywhere else in the world, he is prohibited to do until either the Rebbe dies or until the Rebbe gives you permission. Badoni Avi Harash, however, the Rush, my father, the Rush, Chasav Talmud Gamor, Chasav Talmud Gamor Toch Shneimasar Mil Chayiv Misa. That well, if you are within 12 mil, you're going to be liable to death. But if you're the Imhu Mora v'chutz Imhu Mora, if he paskins v'chutz Shneimasar Mil outside 12 mil, Pater Aval Aser. So you're violate the din, but you're not going to be liable anything. The Talmud Chaver, however, if he's what this category called the Talmud Chaver. Toch shneimasar mil, within 12 mil. Patr aval aser, that's this not liable to death. V'chutz l'shneimasar mil, it's going to be mutter. Okay, so those are the various sheetos. Where did this come about to? How did we get to this? So that's really spelled out in the Beis Yosef. So if you go back a page to the Beis Yosef, page, two pages, where it says Dalet in parentheses Aleph. So there he quotes from the tour. For us, the adam lahoros bifnei rabba is prohibited to pass in front of one's rebbe. The olam b'chol hamora l'fanav chayim misa. Anybody who passes in front of him is liable to death. And the Rambam writes imhu rachuk mirabu yud beis mil, etc. So where is this coming from? So this is quoted from the Rambam. Gamze perek hay. We're in the Beis Yosef now. Perek hay mehilchos tamu torah. V'taima. What's the reason? The midigarsin perek kamad Sanhedrin. So it's based on a what we learned in the first perek of Sanhedrin. Pam achas is a story there. Rebbe once shows up someplace. That they were kneading their dough betuma. Right? Incidentally, a lot of these halachos, this whole simon, right? There's no Maseches Talmud Torah, right? So a lot of this is just learnt out from stories. It's like random Gemaras from various places. So here, we have a story of Rabbi Yehuda shows up in a place, and they're kneading their doughs in Tuma, using, right? So how did that come about? That's not right. So Tana Ba'osa, well, actually, so basically it leaves out how this came about. The way it came about was once a rabbi was there, and the rabbi told them that we paskin may beitzim. I think someone on the bottom here goes for Aros explains what happens here. But one time someone came and said may beitzim is not mitame, doesn't cause tumas mashkin, it doesn't extend tuma. So they thought the guy didn't say that's may beitzim, right? The eggs. Right, liquid of eggs, and they thought he said mei bitzayim. What's mei bitzayim? Mei bitzayim is marsh water. So they were under the impression that marsh water isn't going to cause tumas ochlin. And truth is, they had a svara. The Gemara points out that they had a svara for it. He said because the Mishnah tells us that when it comes to paraduma, you need mayim chayim el keli, and the Mishnah tells us that mei bitzayim is not usable for the paraduma. So they said, just as mei bitzayim is not usable for the paraduma, so it must be that mei bitzayim isn't liable, can't cause tuma. So they said, so let's always just use mei bitzayim. We'll use marsh water for all of our breads, as delicious as that sounds. Swamp water, as they might call nowadays. Right, we'll use this water for our breads, and we're never going to, therefore we're not going to have to worry about tuma and tara again when it comes to our breads, because it's all going to be made with water that is non-tumayable. That was their issue. So Rebbe shows up and sees him doing this. So Tanaba, so he was not too happy. So Tanaba Usa Shah, Gazru Talmud Al Yora El Imkein Milto Just Rabbo. He made a din then, a gezeira then, that no Talmud is allowed to paskin unless he gets Rishus from his Rebbe. Incidentally, that's what we call today smicha, right? That's really what the modern day smicha is. That's what it says on my smicha clock. I could bring it down. It's upstairs, right? That you've learned enough things and you're able to answer questions. That's what we're doing. Fine. So v'isa suhas. And then there's another comment over there. Tanchum berei de Rabbi Ami ikla. Laaser. He got someplace, that place. So Darish Lahu, and he paskin, he said, Mutter Lil Soschitim to Pesach. So another issue, that he paskin that it was permissible to soak grains on Pesach. So Amrulay Lav Money, Diminsur Ika Hacha. Ravitanya, Talmud Al Yorah Halacha Makum Rabbo, Elim Kain Hayat Racha Kimenu Shalish Parsos Kenegan Machane Yisrael. He said, well, which was, I think, disagreeing with the previous Rav, and they decided over there.
Someone said there was a board meeting, and I thought that you were going to wait till after the board meeting.
I didn't.
Huh?
There's no board meeting. Some other meeting.
The executive board meeting, apparently, but I just get a. No. Didn't tell me. So, and they quoted from this brisa that also appears in Maseches Erevin, Talmud al Yorah Halacha Makom Rabbo, that a Talmud is not permitted to paskin a halacha where the Rebbe is present. El im kein hayirachu kimenu sholish parsos kenegin machane Yisrael, unless he's at least three parsos away. The three parsos, incidentally, is the same as 12 mil. Three parsos equals 12 mil.
Mil is what, about kilometer?
Yeah, something like that. Where do we get three parsos from? Because that was the distance of the machane of Bnei Yisrael at its longest point, right? And who is the Rebbe that they would be referring to? So don't pass an halacha within the camp of Yisrael, because you should just go to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So that's where that number comes from. So we have a count. So we have a Gemara in the Sanhedrin saying that you're not allowed to pass an Yishas until one gets rishus from the Rebbe. And we also have this din in Maseches Erevin, that one is not permitted to paskin unless he's at least three parsos away from his Rebbe. So Rashi there says, okay, fine. And that's where he gets the idea from. However, we have another Gemara Maseches Erevin, which is the same place where that's at, Gimel Al-Kama Rava. We're now at the bottom of Tafkuf Tzadiches, right at the bottom of Perek Hadar. Fine, so that's number one, right? You can't pass in front of your Rebbe, and you have to be at least three parsos away. So we have a Gemara Maseches Erevin, says, Amar Rava, b'fun of Aser v'chayiv Misa, shelo b'fun of Aser v'enu chayiv Misa, right? That's where we saw that Misa thing, the Torah quotes, that if you're in front of the Rebbe, you'd be liable to death, or Misa v'dei Shemayim. Not in front of the Rebbe, you're not going to be liable to death. The Garcin and Suhasam, and then the Gemara there also comments, this Gemara actually is before that line, but it tells the story over there. The Ravina Sar Sechina B'Bavel, that Ravina used to inspect the knives in Bavel. Remember last week, the Chassid that was here, so he discussed checking the knives. So the sources in the Gemara, Ravina would check the knives in Bavel. So Amalei Rav Chista, my time of in Marhachi. So they asked Ravina, why are you doing this? How can you do this? Right, but... Amar Le Rav Chista, my time. How could you do this? I mean, aren't you? Does he explain the? Oh, in our Gemara it says Ravashi, right? I think that actually is the. I'm not sure which one is the better text. Ravina. It would make sense that it would be Ravina and Ravashi based on the continuation of the story. So my time of Marachi. Why are you doing this? So Amar Le Rav Hamnuna Ori Bechadasa De Argas Bashne De Rav Chista. Right? How could you do this? Don't you know that Rav Hamnuna is in Chadasa de Argas, this other place, which the implication is that it's a little far away, and he's paskening, and he's your Rebbe. So he says, well, it was Bishani de Rav Chista. It was the years of Rav Chista. Meaning, and we would change that also, not Rav Chista to Rav Ashi. In our text of the Gemara, it appears Rav Ashi instead of Rav Chista, which... right. So I'm really lav ori it. Mari says I wasn't. I'm not sure. How do we read that again? I'm really lav. I'm not sure. But then I'm really itmar ori v'itmar lo. Oh, he says lav ori itmar. No. So you responded by saying no. That's not what the text is. The text is you're not allowed a paskin during those days. So I'm really no itmar ori v'itmar lo ori. He says no. There's two gears. Some say that you are, and some say that you aren't. Bishani the Rav Huna Rabbi Yehu the lo ori, that during the days of Rav Huna, so Rav Huna was his rebbe, so he didn't paskin when Rav Huna was alive. For Ori Bishani de Rav Chista, but he did paskin in the days when Rav Chista was alive. Why? The Talmud Chaver de Lehava, because he was a was he is considered a Talmud Chaver of Rav Chisda, or in our text it's Rav Ashi. Right, so what's going on in this Gemara? So Ravina was passing shaylas on these knives. He asked, how could you pass shaylas on these knives? It's not allowed. So he said, well, we know that that Rav Hamnuna would pass shaylas during the days of Rav Chisda, right? And that was okay. He says, well, that's, and then some say that either he did or whether he didn't, there was a question. And he said, well, yeah, those were the days when his Rebbe was alive, he didn't. But when he was a Talmud Chaver, when his Rebbe passed away, and only his Talmud Chaver, his Rebbe Chaver was alive, so then he would be allowed to do it. And he says, "V'ananami, and I'm also Talmud Chaver Demarana. I'm the Talmud Chaver of Rav Ashi. So therefore, it's okay for me to pass in these shaylas." But what does it sound like? Umashma dechadasa deargas hayarachab hu medisa makomu shel rafuna. But what does it sound like? This place of chadasa deargas was more than 3 mil away from Pupadisa, where Rafuna lived. Yes, Yosef Mishalish Parcellus. Vafilu hachilo ori. But yet the implication is that he wouldn't pass in shaylas. Meaning if he actually was his Rebbe, and his Rebbe was alive in Pumpadisa, he would not be paskening those shaylas. That's the implication of that Gemara, in which case we seem to have a stira between these two Gemaras. On one hand, the Gemara Sanhedrin seems to paskin that as long as you're not in front of the Rebbe, you're okay. As long as you're at least three parsos away, you're okay. Well, this Gemara Sanhedrin seems to say, Gemara in Irvin seems to say, no. If your Rebbe is still alive anywhere in the world, so then you're going to... you're going to have a problem. So how do we resolve that? So skip. So there's, I think, four answers in the Rishonim that the Beis Yosef here lists off. So you just skip down a couple of lines. It says Mitaritz HaRambam. And the Rambam is probably the way we paskin. So the Rambam paskins the Hadam Mashmud Afilu Chutz L'Shosh Parsos Aser Haynu B'Kuveya Atzmo Limudul Haros. He says this idea, right? This idea that even outside of three parsos it's Aser. When is that? Haynu B'Kuveya Atzmo Limudul Haros. Right? We saw this in the Torah. That's when you establish yourself as the posek, right? To set up shop and say, "I'm the posek here." So that's a problem even outside of three parsos. Bahad the mash with the chutz l'gilo parsos mutter. But when we say that it's mutter, haynu b'akrai b'alma. That's just happens to. That's when someone happens to ask you a shaila. So within three parsos, it's not appropriate to answer. Send them to the Rebbe. But if it's more than three parsos away, that's already pretty far. So you're allowed to answer the shailas again, provided that you haven't set up shop. Okay, and then skip another couple of lines. In the middle of the line, it says Vatosus Vaharash. What does it say there? Teretz. Their answer is the Hadamash Bechutz L'Sholish Parsos Aser Ayri B'Talmud Gamur. Right? When is it that it is even Aser outside of three Parsos? That's when he's a full fledged Talmud. Vahad the mashmat the chutz l'shosh parsos shari, meaning the Gemara in Sanhedrin, ayri b'talmud chaver. That's actually talking about a talmud chaver. The chiyutz b'zeh kasvul goes maimini. Fine. So now you have two answers. The Rambam's answer is setting up shop versus not setting up shop, and then you have Tosfos and the Rush's answer, which is talmud versus talmud chaver. Right, and you still have to define what exactly is a talmud chaver.
Talmud gomer.
Talmud means I'm a full-fledged Talmud of the Rebbe. Yeah, all of my knowledge came from him. Vast majority of my knowledge came from him. Talmud Chaver, it's a little question. It's a little question. It's my focus later on in the Beis Yosef. Either that it's you learn from a lot of people, or that you have continued learning since your time with that Rebbe. Meaning you have now started coming close to the Rebbe because you've done your own learning.
The Chaver of the Rebbe.
Right, but you were a Talmud at one point. So that's answer number two. Answer number three, it comes from the Mordechai. Medivrei Mordechai, Perek Hadar, Nirashe, Mitaritz, Be'inyin Achi. Answers another way. The Hamashma, the Chutz L'Sholosh Parsos, where three lines above that word Mashma, outside of three Parsos, Aser, when is that? Haynu Dafka B'makum Sherabo Rogil Lavo. That's only if the Rebbe might come. If the Rebbe is a traveling Rebbe, he's going to perhaps come within your zone, so then it's inappropriate to paskin there. But if he's going to stay where he is, so then you could set up shop, you could paskin your own shaila, which the Mordechai seems to be the most lenient of any of these positions, at least lenient on the young rabbi. And then Mashmid Tosos Perek Kam in the Sanhedrin, then there's a fourth answer, Tosos and Sanhedrin answers, that if you left the Rishus Mirabba Toshos Parsos, it's going to be Usr. That even if one gets Rishus from the Rebbe within 3 Parsos, it's going to be Usr. But I guess outside you would be able to get that Rishus. And where do we get that from? Lachin Mashmid de Garcia and Perek Afalpi. We learned that out from a Gemara in Meseches Ksuvas, the third Gemara that plays a role in this. And what is that? I resay the Abai Usr Kam. So the it's actually someone wants to get married. I mean, the story is that someone wants to get married. I say, all right, an aris is normally a sharecropper, but the story happens to be ma'oli aris imenekes chaveru b'chameishes asar chodesh. Can I get married to a menekes chaveru, to my friend's? A man passed away, a man divorced his wife. His wife has a baby. So there's a din that the woman is not allowed to get married within a certain amount of time while she's still nursing the child. Right? And either, it seems, we pass in actually 2 years, but this is according to the assumption that it's even less than that. Question whether that would be, whether we would even be able to get around it today. That's actually stronger. That idea, yeah, I'd have to wait 2 years, is actually stronger than the idea that, like a woman who converts or something needs to wait 3 months before she can get married. This is actually a stronger din. But anyways, but they were passing maybe 15 months, plus maybe it's not 2 years, maybe it's only 18 months, and the first 3 months that a woman is pregnant, it doesn't really mess up the milk at all, so maybe you can get married within 15 months. So Amar Lei, Chada the Rebbe Meir of Rebbe Yehuda, Halacha Rebbe Yehuda. He says, number one, Rebbe Meir of Rebbe Yehuda, we pass like Rebbe Yehuda. I forget which one was holding which. But anyways, Ki Asla Kami of Yosef, for our purposes, they came from Rav Yosef Amalei, Ravu Shmuel, the Amri Shavaya, Tzricha Lahamtim Esrim Varba Chodesh. And he said, well, come on, according to Rav and Shmuel, you have to wait 24 months before you get married, meaning 2 full years. So Amar Abai, this is our key comment, so Abai comments, Hay Milsa the Amor Rabbanan, Afilu Biasa Bekuscha, Lo Lishre Inish Vemakom Rabbe. That even Biasa Bekuscha, what's that? This is actually a Talmudic phrase, it shows up regularly. An egg in kusach. A kusach is this milchik's dish that they used to make. It's the classic milchik's chametz dish that the Gemara describes. So he says, even an egg in this kusach, a person is not permitted while the Rebbe is allowed. While the Rebbe, in front of their Rebbe. Lo mishum demechse ka'af kirusa. Not necessarily because he looks like he's denying his Rebbe and it's a lack of respect for his Rebbe. El mishum de lo mistaye milsa lemeimer deha ana havak. Rather because you won't get the siyata d'shmaya necessary to answer the shayla.
What does that have to do with the stuff?
Which stuff? No, that's an example. I mean, that's an example of a pashat shayla.
What's the shayla? Well, you can eat an egg with this?
Well, that's actually an interesting question. The Gemara, the implication you get from the Gemara is, well, you're right, what's the shayla? Yeah. The shayla is whether an egg is fleshik. You know, that's right. Okay. Can you have an egg with kusak? So that's the easiest shayla. You guys didn't even see what the shayla is, right? So even that, a shurisen shouldn't pasuk in front of their Rebbe. Tosfos on that page actually asks, what are you talking about? Everybody knows. That's not even a shayla, right? What could possibly be the shayla? So Tosfos sort of strengthens the question to be, no, it's not talking about just putting an egg in milk. It's talking about an egg that came out of a chicken. I mean, every egg comes out of a chicken. But you shech the chicken and find an egg in it, right? So at what point is that egg considered fleshik or is it not? So that's a whole interesting question. It depends on the development of the egg, where, you know, at what point, how far along it is. So that's the shayla. The problem is, if that's the shayla, so then you understand why you can't paskin without asking your rabbi, right? You gotta sort of like draw this balance of like something hard but not too hard.
Wasn't Abai and Rabbi Yosef kind of colleagues? Abai was the Rebbe of Rabbi.
Yes, well, he was the Rebbe. Abai retaught Rabbi Yosef everything after Rabbi Yosef got sick. I think that's their relationship. But what does he say? But I mean, the Rabbi Shmuel, if you look, he let me say a little milsa lemeim. I'm a perish Rashi. Let me say a milsa shiuri halacha. Because with those their comments, kiaf kirusa benafkumine hechad sharav mochal akvodu the shari. If you look, al yora to load them say a milsa hol v'rabbi wetzel. So those was their comments that yeah. That this the idea that a person could if the Rebbe gives them permission, if the Rebbe is mochli, he's permitted to paskin on his own, that's okay so long as it's not right in front of him. Right in front of him is still considered inappropriate, because then, as this Gemara points out, that's when you're going to lose your siyata d'shmaya. Okay, the last two pieces here Okay. I mean, there's a couple more pieces within. If you turn the page to the next, to the end, to one page over, Kaf Resh, so it goes back to Dalet Beis, and there it quotes two more halachos. Number one is in Yerim Divei Rambam, the Talmud Chaver Afilu Bafan of Mutil Horos, that when you have a Talmud Chaver, right, this is what we mentioned before, even in front of him, Afilu Bafan of it would be Mutil Paskin. How do we know that? Sherei Kasa Besov Perak HaNizkar, the Rambam says, Medvar Murim Barabu Muvak, Shalom Dami Menu Rov Chachmasa, Valim Lo Lamed Bi Menu Rov Chachmasa, so I raise a Talmud Chaver, then he qualifies as a Talmud Chaver, Ve'inu Chai Bechvodo, Bechol Elu Hadvarim, Aval Omin Mufan of Bekori Alav. Rather, he can stand in front of him and read there. I mean, that's, that sounds like the Rambam is even passing a Talmud Chaver would be permitted to do that. So how is the Rambam defining here a Talmud Chaver? It sounds like...
Korea love, I think, means to warn him.
Aval Omin Mufan of Korea
means to teach.
Yeah, it does. How does that spell? I thought I looked that up.
Maybe it means he has to
stand before him when he comes into the room, I guess,
and
do Kriya afterwards. Yeah, I guess. Okay. Fine. But what does his point mean in terms of answering the shayla, waiting for him to pass on the shayla, is that it's not necessary for him to do. Mashma, what does it say? Like the sphere lays out, the Hadamar Ravina Luravashi, Anna Talmud Chavir, the Marana, Hainu Lomar, the Chivan, the Eno Ella Talmud Chavir, Mutulo Lahoros, Afilu Bafanov, Dilu Huska Iso Rakla. So the Rambam would be reading that Gemara in Irvin that we learned, and he said, no, it's okay, I'm allowed to pass him because I'm a Talmud Chavir of his. What he's really saying is, even if he's right in front of me, I'd be able to pass in front of him. That's the psak that the Rambam has. But if you look at the bottom here, he says from in that section here, he says Tosos Barash Havalei Lichtov Ha'uv De Lashmin and the Talmud Chaver Befun of Mias. However, Tosos and the Rush read it differently. They say no. If it's a Talmud Chaver, if you're in front of him, you're still not permitted to paskin there. And then there's this final discussion about what a Talmud Chaver is, but maybe we'll leave that. So now we'll turn to the Shulchan Aruch itself. So Shulchan Aruch, and Simon Reishman Bey is Sif Dalit. So it's a pretty long Sif. As you can see, it's interspersed with a lot of lines from the Ramah. So it's constant. There's, I think, four sections of the Chaver and four sections of the Ramah. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Asul adam lahoros lifnei rabu liolam b'chalamor lefanav chayiv misa." So it's prohibited for a person to pass in front of their rebbe, and anybody who does is going to be chayiv misa. So that's straight up right in front of him. As the Ramav afilu metilas rishus lo mahani, even if you got rishus, it's not appropriate within three parsos. Af imhu if he says rebbe mavak. Okay, that's actually already goes to the end, right? That's the bias of bechuska thing that he was quoting here. Fine. So there is an important Pischei Tshuva here. The Pischei Tshuva here on the bottom, there is Gimel, says Lifnei Rabo. So I am B'Tshuva Shfus Yaakov, Chelik Beis Simit Samach Talad, Shekasav Delachain, Roy Lechol Mishe Yigia Lahora, anybody who actually does Paskin Shailas, Shelo Yoresh Shum Hora Bilti Iyan Tchila, that person is not permitted to Paskin the Shaila without looking inside first, the safer. Why? Kiravosenu hein hein hasfarim asher nispashtu b'kerav Yisrael. Because nowadays our rebbeim are the sfarim that have spread amongst Kal Yisrael. V'samach l'davar az lo avush v'aviti chuli v'aydovar min dein roy lasos came v'makom she'im b'nei Torah shelo yashadu. Right? That it's appropriate to do this. Even a place where there's no b'nei Torah that won't get it. Okay? But then he says, and v'al primagadim b'rosh shifro al orchaim, and so to the Prima Gadim writes this as well, that that's an important thing to do. So this is so is this really accepted? Is a person not allowed to paskin shilas without it? So first of all, before we get too far, next week we'll discuss what it actually means to paskin a shaila. Not every discussion qualifies as being a shaila that one is paskining. Right? A shaila of, do we say tachlon on the second day of Pesach Sheni, for example, right? It's not necessarily paskining a shaila. It's saying, oh, it says in one edition of our scroll this, and it says in another edition of our scroll that. Right? That's not really paskining a shaila. Paskining a shaila is really defined as either acknowledging a reality that we didn't didn't necessarily exist beforehand, or specifically passing on an object. Those are kind of the main things that are discussed in terms of what it means to pass on the Shiloh. So how relevant this all is a little unclear. We'll get to something that perhaps indicates that it's not so relevant, but nevertheless, that's what the Piskei Tshuva says. Before passing a Shiloh, one should always look it up. It's also in Nefesh HaRav. Nefesh HaRav also has this idea of Shechter, quote this, I think it's in name from the Rav, that he said the same thing, that one is not supposed to pass on Shilohs without looking it up. In fact, I heard, where did I hear this from? That Rav Henkin would advise Rabbanim not to answer Shilohs by telephone. Why not? Because when you're called by telephone, you're pressured to answer the question right away, and you can't, you don't necessarily take the time that's necessary in order to look up the, in order to look it up. That's A. And B, sometimes you pass the shot by telephone, you don't even know who's calling, right? So what if you made a mistake? You realize you made a mistake, you realize you want to change something, you don't have the ability to call them back. So he advised, again, this is 70 years ago, but he advised people to avoid as much as possible passing the shots on a telephone. I would argue even that, right? Answering by email or text is even better. Right? It's better than telephone because one could at least look things up. But anyways, the real halacha of it has to do with paskening real shilas. In fact, the
Aruch Hashem, say I'm going to look it up and I'll get back to you. Give me a call. Or
yeah, you could.
Yeah.
You could, but he's pointing out that there is a pressure to answer the question right away.
And on your telephone, there's give and take, and you can be mavarev exactly the pratim of the shilah.
Right. So he also advised not to do it that way. Right. So he also advised not to do it that way because he was speaking before the era of emails and texts. But he was saying also, I think he also said that you can't see their facial expressions while they're asking the issue. So he was even acknowledging that issue. Of course, it has to deal with the reality that they're confronted with. There is, Aruch HaShulchan makes a comment on this, that he says that, yeah, it's a nice, like, it's a nice idea, but it's not true. that these halachas are not really about Sfarim and looking things up first. The halachas really are about Kavod Harav, and that wouldn't apply to Sfarim anymore. So Aruch HaShulchan says black and white, that yeah, it's like he acknowledges it and says, but the reality is that's not really the halacha. That one would have to do that. Yeah. Okay. So that's issue number one. The shach here makes a comment that even if you get rishus, it doesn't work. The shach and sif dalet. He says, "V'das a rav v'arash b'tshuva." Right. The natilas rishus mahani afilu tov gimel parsos. That no, the natilas rishus does work even if it's within. Even if it's within three parsos. So that's a little bit of that's a machlokas that's out there. Right. We saw hints of that in the Beis Yosef as well. And when the Shach paskins like the Shach seems to be paskining that in that way. Okay, continue on in the Shulchan Aruch. Another thing, he says, "Vim hu rachach mirav, if you're at least 12 mil away, v'shalo lo adam davar halach." And someone asks in the Shaila, the derech mikra by happenstance, yochel lahashiv. What is this? This is the sheet of the Rambam. This is the first din that was quoted there. Right, so he's allowed to answer. Aval the kvoa atzmo lahoros v'leishav lahoros afilu besofa olam asu lahoros hashiyemus rabo o hashiyithin l'rishus. But to set up shop and to set up your own paskining factory, so that's inappropriate anywhere in the world unless a your rebbe is dead or B, your Rebbe has given you permission. However, it adds the Ramah, the Chol Zeb Rebbe Muvak. All this is really with your Rebbe Muvak. About the Talmud Chaver, if you tell Shosha Parsos, that would be Mutter, as we learned. Veish Omer, the Mikol Makum, Lifne Rabo, Mamish, that would be Aser. But if you look Shalom, even not directly in front of him, Imid Chilu Bechavod HaRav, Lomer Shishalu LaRav, Osharav, Mufod Bechachma Vizakena, Ein Lahoros Be'ira, in his entire city. That if there is a Kavod HaRav necessary, or there is someone who is a Mufod Bechachma Vizakena, right, so then you wouldn't be able to paskin in their city at all. There have been a few times that I've kind of confronted Rishul with Sack or something that I wanted to give and whatever, and he would always begin by saying, "Listen, you're the rabbi, you can do what you want." And I'm thinking that was probably for shus. That's why I agree with him. Maybe. Okay, so v'yesh omrim talmud gamor toch yudbeis. What else do we got here? V'yesh omrim. Continue on in the machaber here. Yeah. Okay. So Yishrim that Talmud Gamer Tochi Beis Mil Chayiv Misa. That it's something that if it's your full Talmud within 12 mil of the Rebbe, you'd be Chayiv Misa if you paskin outside the mil, you'd be Pater Avol Aser. It says the Rav Yish Omrim the Dafka Beragil Level Irush El Shel Talmud. There are those that say this is that Mordechai, right? Only if the Rebbe will show up every once in a while. About him Einu Ragil Level, he's not going to show up. Sham Rak Bederet Akray only once in a while. So then it would be Mutter Kol Shu Chutz Legil Parso. So long as he is outside of four parsos. Fine. There is, it's the same idea, but the Piskei Tshuva is from earlier, but it's the same idea about being far away, or are you far enough? The Piskei Tshuva has a shayla here from the Beis Yaakov. What about if you paskin de shayla, when the Rebbe was outside of three parsos, and you paskin the shayla, and then the Rebbe comes in within the parsos. So, And the behemoth is still alive. the issue that you were wondering about is still live. Are you chayiv to ask the Rebbe at that point if you've already passed in the Shaila? And it pretty much says that if you have not, that it would be kavod harav too. That if you're still thinking about it, or even if you decide which way you want to go, you would be chayiv to. If you have paskin, but you haven't acted on it yet, so technically you do not have to, but kavod harav would be to turn around and ask him. That's the long piskei tshuva over there. Okay, and then finally to conclude this section, Talmud Chavir Toch Yud Beis Mil, the Talmud Chavir is within 12 mil, Patra Aval Aser, the Chutzl Yud Beis Mil Mutter, this is interesting. That if you've gotten rishus from one rebbe, it's not sufficient until you've gotten rishus from all of the rebbeim within 12 mil. Now he adds in the words rabosav hamuvhakim. Rabosav hamuvhakim probably doesn't mean you can't have more than one rebbe muvak. I think the shach here points that out. Right? You can't have more than one person that you learned rov chachma from. Right? The arithmetic doesn't add up. Right? So it must mean something else. So the important rabbanim, you need to get the permission from them. With if you're within 12 mil, I'm not really sure how that can play out practically. What if one of them says no? Like, how does that work? As the rabbanim. Okay, the Rambam makes the comment. Okay, the Hamuf Hakim Lo Mayri Yishar Rav. It's not like all the other Rav Mufakim that we talk to Rav Chachamim Menu. The Imkain Lo Esher Li Yoslo Harbi Rabosu Mufakim. You can't have more than one. El Ratzlover. Rather, what does it mean? Talmud Gamor Lafuki Talmud Chaver. Meaning, it's a Talmud. If you're a Talmud, as opposed to a Talmud Chaver. The Hainush Nisgadil B'Torah V'Nase Chaver L'Rabo. The Hainush Hu Karov Lios Gadol Karabo. What is a Talmud Chaver? It means that you've grown to become like the Rebbe. In which case, you've come close to be like the Rebbe, so that's when you don't need to get rishus. But if you're not there yet, I'm not sure what you do in paskening shilas, but well, whatever. I guess if you're a young guy out of smicha and you've all of a sudden shown up as the new rabbi in town and you wouldn't even call yourself a Talmud Chaver relative to the other rabbanim, so then it sounds like you would have to get rishus. You have to get rishus from all of them. Now, one more point though, just want to throw out there, and that is so the Lecha Mishnah here. Now, Lecha Mishnah is not so recent, but yet even already so far as Lecha Mishnah, he pretty much says that none of these halachos really apply at all. Right, he's going on the Rambam, where the Rambam says, "V'chol tamash lo yikil lahoros amora hareza shota v'arasha v'gas ruach etc." And he heads here. The Sfira Leilur, he's going on the following question. There's also a halacha in that the Gemara quotes in Maseches Avodah Zarah, which does not make it into Shulchan Aruch, that says one is not supposed to pass Kinshayas until you turn 40. Right? So that doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. So why doesn't it appear in Shulchan Aruch? So it really could mean, so one answer is just, well, because 40 doesn't really mean 40. 40 means that you have the maturity of somebody that's 40, and that's going to then be relative to the person getting Rishos. But then he goes on and says that really what the Rambam, he thinks what the Rambam holds is, that Adafka Bizman Kadmon, that this halacha is only back in the old days. Now the only problem is that then why are you only leaving out that din and not all these other dinim? But that only in the early days, Shaloayu Lomdim Elamip Sofrim, that they would learn from the Sofrim, from the Rabbanim, the scribe, like those people, right? They would learn Velomi Pi Svarim, but not from Svarim. They would learn from the teachers and not from books. The Chmoshaniri Mashalamada Davrim Moshe, Shalomi Pi Agrura, Alpeh, that Moshe learned from Hashem by mouth. Aval Atta, but nowadays, in the 1600s or so, Excuse me. Shatorah bichsav. The Torah is writing, but alone the pisvarim. We learn from svarim. Vaday de lo beinim kuli. Hi, we don't need all of this. Lo tala rabino adavar bekach elashiyah chacham gadol levan. Therefore, we don't really rely on. The only thing we really need is that he be a big talmud chacham. Ukvar kasa behilchos sanhedrin hatnai mihadayin v'hachisav gilei. V'chein ze shemati b'shem echad shekasa b'shem chacham echad shebizman hazeh leka mora halacha b'fnei rabba. There's no such din as halacha b'fnei rabba anymore. Why? We really learn from Svarim, and the Svarim are the teachers. That's how I would resolve the questions. However, to have a question on the riff, but fine. So that's quoted here. That could be that these halachos, how they apply today, is difficult. I would venture to say that guessing the biyasub bekuscha idea, the idea that if your Rebbe is right there, that probably still does hold true. I mean, they were passing easy shilas, and they were saying, but it's still it's not appropriate to answer when the Rebbe is present. So how that but even that is somewhat questionable, but how exactly that would play out. But that I would suggest still is applicable. But these other halachos about needing permission to be someplace in the world, right? Any place in the world, you would need permission. So he's suggesting that that is not applicable. That's also the suggestion that is here in the Pesukei Chulos. He adds in a little bit more. Where'd it go? There he says, "V'yish makom letzayin kula b'zebi stamich al kamik dolei aposim shekasu shekol iser mora horab b'fnei rabo." This whole din is in oig b'zman. Enu why? Me'achar she'ein anu morim al pi svara bilvad kamo b'zman atalma. We're not passing based on svara. I don't know how he's getting that, but he then goes on and puts the Lacha Mishnah. This is in the cipher Sakim Uchuvos. El HaKol Api Rabu Senu HaPoskim. But really, we're going based on Rabu Senu HaPoskim. So, how to do that? I mean, that's sort of, hopefully, we'll get to some kind of resolution of that next week's year. Right? Where do you draw the line between I'm Paskin Yashayla versus I'm just quoting you something that appears in Shulchan Aruch or in the Mishnah Berurah or in an article book? Right? Right? What point, where do you cross the line of, this I'm just connecting you with a source versus I'm deciding that you fit within this source.
So according to him, what do I need you for?
It's a good question.
You know, here's a book that says you can't open up that cap on Shabbos because it leaves the ring.
Correct.
Here's another book that says, oh yeah, the Debrecen Rav says you can open up the cap that uses a ring. Okay, I'll pick
right.
this one.
Right. So how am I going to... So one thing might be that, right? Deciding between... But even that, you're really quoting Mari Makomos. I'm not really deciding... When I pass in something like that, right? I'm not deciding between I think he's right and I think he's wrong. Rather, I have a Masor from my Rebbeim, and once I... That's sort of falling in, right? And with most Shilas today, right? Bring the Shilas. All these things. Right, I'm not deciding the Shila. I'm really saying we're going to call up... I'm going to dial that phone number.
Right.
Kind of knowing what the answer is going to be. So that's one aspect, right? In terms of working it out from scratch, it's not working out from scratch, but then also being deciding. I mean, at the end of this siman talks about what's considered hefsin meruba, right? So that's sort of a judgment call. What's considered a major loss? So who's going to decide if that's a major loss or it's not? So someone needs to kind of make that call. So that probably is really paskening shilas. That's really a real idea of psak, but I guess we'll develop that in further detail next week.
So this idea, so that it's written in books.